So I was doing a project together with a partner who is a drone operator and the VR specialist, Barak Brinker, that dealt with the no-fly zone in Jerusalem, which is, there are a few no-fly zones, obviously, in Jerusalem, but there is one no-fly zone, which is above the Temple Mount and is very big. It's 3 kilometers in diameter. Other no-fly zones in Jerusalem are the Israeli parliament and the city's main stadium. These are, you know, relatively a lot smaller no-fly zones. 3 kilometers in diameter is huge. And it's called Temple Mount restricted zones. But the Temple Mount itself, which is a compound within the old city, maybe takes 2 or 3% of the whole area that is covered by this regulatory no-fly zone. So this area, which is banned for flights and specifically banned for drones, is covering the Temple Mount, the old city, and large parts beyond the old city, which are residential Palestinian and Israeli Jewish neighborhoods around the old city. Thing is that we kind of realized that when you are inside the no-fly zone, the drone cannot take off. And I was starting to ask myself, okay, how does it work? And, you know, what happens if you're outside the no-fly zone? And what happens if you fly the drone toward this area? Is there a wall? Is there a digital wall? How does it work? So we set out with a drone and we flew from outside the no-fly zone to the direction of this area. And what happened is that the DJI drone was just stuck into an invisible wall. So there is this invisible wall that surrounds the old city and takes large parts of Jerusalem that we kind of crushed. And then we were sliding along it to visualize it. So the drone was taking video all the time, looking directly into the no-fly zone, into the Dome of the Rock, the Golden Dome, one of the most ancient Muslim structure in the old city that is in the center of the Temple Mount compound. And this is how we kind of visualize this wall by flying around it.
Hmm. And what are the implications of this wall? How do you interpret this wall?
Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting wall because, you know, now in most big cities, there are no-fly zones. And regulatory no-fly zones are normally, you know, as I said, like security facilities or stadiums or airports and places where there is risk of aerial collision. And that specific no-fly zone is very much imbricated into the religious and political conflict in Jerusalem and the conflict around sovereignty in Jerusalem. And it projects all these complexities of the conflict because, you know, the old city and East Jerusalem are basically that Israel occupied in the 1967 war and annexed to its territory. So Israel unilaterally decided that East Jerusalem is part of its own sovereignty, but this is something that is unrecognized by most of the countries around the world, right? The European Union has also seen these parts of Jerusalem as unresolved. So making this no-fly zone above these areas kind of creates, it is another tool of sovereignty within the city. And this is even much more complex because within the Temple Mount, there is also right of control and right of management for the Islamic Waqf, which is a trust, a religious trust that has been managing the holy structures in the old city since 900 years ago. So anything that Israel does unilaterally in controlling the access to the Temple Mount on the ground, it's usually being retaliated by massive protests, Palestinian protests, not only in Jerusalem, but also in the occupied territories and in Gaza. If you think about this invisible aerial wall, which is not only aerial, it's from the ground to the skies, and I don't know until where. But if you think about this, it is incredibly controversial because of the complexity of sovereignty and control over these sites. But I mean, once, you know, this aerial wall is created, there is another element that is added to the picture of who controls, you know, the access and who manages it. And the other element is the corporation, is DJI, because the only ability for Israel to create this wall is through its relationships with DJI, right? It's through a regulatory agreement with the company.
Why is that? What kind of corporation is it?
So DJI is the Chinese manufacturer that is really controlling the drone market. Like 70% of the drones are produced by DJI. And DJI has been doing a lot of efforts to kind of work with states in order to what they describe as creating safe fly zones. And therefore, they are implementing regulatory restrictions within the drones themselves. So this is how the coordinates of the no-fly zone is embedded within the flying system of the drone, because this is the condition for DJI to distribute its products in Israel, right? And in other places around the world. I'm not sure how it is exactly, but for sure it's a regulatory agreement. It's a distribution agreement. They cannot distribute their drones if the drones do not comply to the state rules, right? And the fact that DJI controls the code of the drone also gives it a lot of power. So when we started this journey, we decided also to ask permission from the company, from the Chinese company, from DJI. We asked permission to fly the drone within this space of the Temple Mount in the Old City. And we got permission. So we got the permission to unlock the drone and fly with it within this space. Obviously, we didn't use it because we weren't interested in flying above the Temple Mount. We were interested in visualizing this geofence, right? But the fact that DJI can, you know, give you a permission to access these spaces aerially is raising a lot of questions, you know, about the power of corporation within a sovereign area of the state, and how, you know, it kind of signals that in a certain way, I mean, the corporation has more power than the state itself in deciding who can access this area or not. Because if you think about the evasiveness of drones in the skies, I mean, once you can unlock this, it's very hard to find a drone in the sky. So this is, you know, the kind of weird forms of control that are created in our times through the, you know, the distribution of corporate technologies.
Hmm. Yeah, there's many interesting things in that. Also like the aspect of the technology that controls it. No, it's not only a corporation, it's also a lot of control embedded in the technology. So the company doesn't have to ask the Israeli authorities to allow someone to fly there?
Apparently not. I mean,
that is crazy.
Because we would never have gotten the permission. This whole no-fly zone is not administered by the Civil Aviation Authority, which is like most of the no-fly zones are in all states are civil aviation authorities. But this one is designed and shaped and managed by the army and the police. So it's straightforward, a policing technology. I think that, you know, in answer to what you just asked, I mean, I think all this field is very much in the making for regulatory bodies and for states and also for the corporations themselves that, you know, after they created this problem of drones, they are now trying to, you know, give a cure to this illness, you know, by creating all these anti-technologies that either ban drones, or there are also technologies that DJI develops that allow to find drones in the skies and all sorts of things like that. So it's very much in processes of making and developing and understanding how to deal with all this new configurations